Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, but serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about OF&P, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where we have topics on taxes, estate planning, and business planning in video form, audio form, including all of our old radio shows archived there, as well as articles that you might be interested in. And lastly, I invite you to read my monthly column in the Washington Business Journal entitled Blueprint for Wealth. Last month's column dealt with some very, very interesting topics on estate planning. Next month's column may do the same. So tune in to Blueprint for Wealth on the radio, in video, and in the Washington Business Journal. Today, we're going to be talking about when your kid is a reckless spender. What do you do about that? Well, I can't advise you on how to raise your children, but I can advise you on how you might want to structure your estate planning and your financial affairs to ensure that the child is not incentivized to continue the bad behavior or spending that is out of control. Wealthy families often breed reckless spenders. Many parents are left in a bind when they're devising their inheritance plans as a result of the spendthrift qualities of their kids. The parents need to develop a plan. The plan will monitor the sons and daughters who are spendthrift, meaning that they just like to spend money and don't know how to save a dime, while respecting the kids' independence and giving them some room to grow and room to mature. Now, but for sure, it's a delicate balance, but parents who employ innovative financial education and training and carefully choose their trustees and also use very cleverly and carefully written trust agreements can find hope that there is hope for their high rollers who are offspring. So here are some tips that you might want to consider if you're in that bind. And it's not just for the very, very wealthy. It's for people who have insurance policies or people who have equity in their homes. If they die, are they going to just leave the assets? Are you going to leave your assets outright to your spendthrift child? Well, one of the first steps you might want to consider is to make an honest assessment of your kid's financial knowledge. One way to do this is to set up a family investment company, either in a limited liability company or a limited partnership, that controls some of the money that you are going to set aside as part of their inheritance. So try that. I've done this before for a couple that had concerns about how their kids would handle an impending inheritance. The couple put their three kids on the board of the limited liability company. They had them interview investment advisors and hold quarterly strategy calls. The company also paid for financial education programs for the kids. Now you see where we're going with this. We're using this as a vehicle to try to educate the kids, but get them directly involved and have them make decisions. When the quarterly investment calls were held, the parents got to listen in, but we specifically instructed them not to talk on the calls and just listen on how the kids handled themselves. In one instance, the parents were surprised to discover that two of the three kids that they were worried about the most, one who was a teacher and one who was a social worker, asked great questions and excelled in the investment calls. But the kid that they had expected to be best equipped to handle an inheritance, their son, who worked in the finance industry, showed he had real trouble handling his own money. He was literate, in the mechanics. He understood how things worked, but he didn't understand how to really own the wealth and to manage it for his own benefit. Having your investment company will help you spot these problems early. They may be able to help you use this as a trial run so that when the kids inherit a much larger sum after the parent's death, after your death, they can handle it. Not all families have to make such elaborate preparations. Not everyone needs an investment company. Simply including your kids in meetings with your financial advisors may go a long way. Now, I know some of you are reluctant to do that because you really don't want your kids to know what you have. And so, therefore, you may not want to inform them about all of the goings-on in your estate or in your retirement accounts or in your financial accounts. But if you're willing to open the book and educate the kids as you go along, it can be a very helpful tool. Parents also should help their kids deal with the psychological effects of inheriting great wealth. This may require the assistance of a therapist, believe it or not. For many people, there's a lot of guilt associated with receiving a large inheritance. Why? Because you didn't earn the money that you inherited. Your parents did. And perhaps they reminded you of that over and over and over again during their lives. So there may be a little bit of difficulty in handling it. And so you may want a little bit of help in talking out that issue so that you don't feel so bad about it and that you use the assets wisely as you go along in your life. Second big problem is not picking the right trustee. Or how do you pick the right trustee for a spendthrift child? Many spendthrifts could benefit from having two trustees manage their inheritance. Now, I know many of you out there say, well, you know, I really don't want to use a bank or a corporate trustee. But the use of a corporate trustee can help control the purse strings, and they can play the bad cop role with the spendthrift child when it's necessary, avoiding the need to put another family member in that position. Corporations that provide these services include Wilmington Trust Company, U.S. Trust, and BB&T, among many, many others. The second trustee can be a co-trustee with the corporate trustee. Now, again, corporate trustees can be expensive, so I'll give you an alternative to that in a second. But the second trustee will report to the corporate trustee on the beneficiary's progress in improving his or her financial acumen, his or her financial knowledge. This should be somebody who knows the kid well, but isn't too close to them. It might be a longtime family friend. It might even be the family's accountant or an attorney. And it doesn't always have to be a trusts and estate lawyer. Now, experts say not to assign this role to an immediate family member. And as I indicated, it's most of our clients' preference to do so because you trust the immediate family member. And the reason for that is that there may be potential friction with the immediate family member. Let me give you an example of a situation that I've seen happen before, and it's a change in facts to protect the innocent. Do you want somebody glaring down at you at the Thanksgiving table if you're the trustee because you didn't give them money? You may want to consider making the spendthrift child as a co-trustee as well. This role could serve as a kind of apprenticeship, and the head of the trust would be a corporate trustee, but the individual co-trustee might actually be the spendthrift child, him or herself, meaning that that child will not have the right to take a distribution from the trust without the consent of the other trustee. Now, you can also have, as I mentioned, an accountant or a lawyer serve alongside of that child, and they usually understand that the role of trustee is one of a fiduciary, one who is there to make sure that the trust assets are protected for the beneficiary for their lifetime or for however long the assets are going to be held in trust. If it's till they're age 30, 35, 50, or beyond, the trustee has that duty. If you put the kid in charge of the trust by himself or herself, then you don't have any protection against the spendthrift child pulling the asset out for himself or herself. But with a corporate trustee or an individual who's an accountant or an attorney, you do have that type of protection. Getting help from outside the family can be especially crucial for kids whose money woes may stem from substance abuse problems. Let me give you a case that I was going to describe for you a second ago. Let's say we've got a drug addicted person who this individual just really cannot manage their affairs because they're so addicted to drugs. And let's say the person's in his mid-20s, in and out of work, can't keep a job, has no permanent address. I've seen the situation where this guy would stop by his mother's house periodically to pick up cash to get a distribution out of his trust. The mother, who may have been the trustee, knew that some of the money was going to buy drugs. It was really impacting the relationship between the mother and the son to have to be the money cop. In other words, having to protect the child from himself in addition to just trying to be a mother. So we've set up a system for other clients through which the spendthrift son might regularly stop by the mother's bank, who might be the co-trustee, to pick up a prepaid debit card. If there's a relapse in drug use, the mother and the bank or the other co-trustee would cut off the beneficiary from the use of the debit card. In other words, not replenish the balance so that they can't just go out and continue the abuse. The child might bristle at this. They might not like it. But I believe that this is one way of regulating the behavior and still not cutting them off completely from the assets that they may need for their support. Now, there are also trust rules that you can put in, and that is drafting the trust so that it's not so specific, but it gives the trustee guidance in how to interpret the language of the trust and take care of the beneficiary so the beneficiary is not hurting himself or herself. And that's where we come in. If you need help in drafting your trust to accomplish these objectives, give us a call at 703-218-2100. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.